And you are now entering the Big Daddy's podcast.
All right, I got an icebreaker for you guys that you didn't know was coming.
Yes. Oh,
all right, cool. It's Nate, thank you for being on the show with us. Can't wait to learn more about you. Jacob, your hair is getting long, but you're still beautiful.
Yeah, it's out of control, but thank you. I want to be like you when I grow up.
Who am I to talk about long hair, though, right?
I mean, that's true. hit me with that icebreaker.
Okay, all right. So Jacob, you're first, and then Nate, you're second. And I got two questions for you guys. The game is called In or Out. All right, so I'm going to throw out a few things. You let me know if you're in and why you're in, or if you're out and why you're out, okay?
Okay.
Deal.
All right, so the first one encapsulates three bands, okay? Slipknot, Korn, and Linkin Park. Jacob, are you in or are you out? And if you're in, then why are you in? And if you're out, then why are you out?
I'm in, but only in for Linkin Park because I can't name a song from any of them, but Linkin Park's the only one I know that I like songs from. So I'm in, but only for Linkin Park.
Bet. Nate, what do you got?
Yeah, you almost took my answer. I was going to say I was out for the first two, and when you dropped Linkin Park, I think I'm leaning out.
Oh.
Okay, wait. Okay, so you can hang with Linkin Park. Are you out on Linkin Park?
No, I can hang with Linkin Park, but just weighing the other two, I'm out.
Dang, that is a fantastic answer. So here's the thing. I am so out on Linkin Park and Korn.
Okay.
However, I grew up hating on Linkin Park, but now in my older age, I can actually, I can confidently say they're a guilty pleasure. but I think it's a fun question because growing up in the punk rock scene, we would describe that type of music as butt rock. Have you guys heard the term before?
I haven't.
No. Yeah. So basically, Nate, are you from Melbourne or no?
I moved to Melbourne when I was six, and then he moved out when I was going into my sophomore year of high school.
Okay. Do you remember 101.1 WJRR?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So that was we described it as butt rock, even though we listened to it. Yeah, we made fun of it. Okay.
Yeah, I was with Linkin Park on the Jay-Z mashup. That was my
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good one.
Yep. Well done. Well done. Okay. I wasn't thinking about going here, but I'm going to go here. So we have a total of three. The next one, Jacob, are you in or out on Nickelback? And Creed. Nickelback and Creed.
I'm going to go out. I'm hard out.
Okay. Just you think it's lame?
The songs are like some bangers when you're a kid, you know, like a little middle schooler, but I guarantee if I went and listened to it right now, I'd be like, not worth the 3 minutes of my time.
Okay.
It's funny that you asked this. Last week, the song Higher on, and I was blasting it in my truck just on the way home, screaming Higher. So I'm very in on this one.
Okay, once again, 20 years ago, I would have judged it, hated it, said how bad it is, but I'm all in on Creed and Nickelback right now. So
yeah.
I have to turn in my punk rock card.
Any sound or song recommendations for the people?
I mean, yeah, like Higher is insanely incredible. Man, why am I drawing such a blank? I mean, This Is How You Remind Me by Nickelback. It's got like a gazillion plays. You know, never made it as a wise man. I'm sick and tired. And this is how you remind me. You know what? Does it ring a bell or no?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then, man, Creed has some other hits. Nate, do you remember any of their other stuff?
No, I'm a shallow Creed fan, so it's just me.
Okay, fair enough. All right, last one. The show, and you guys might not know what the show is, but it's called Wild and Out. Jacob, are you in or are you out?
Is that the one where they have rap-offs and they just roast each other in oblivion?
Yeah.
I'm in. I watched that growing up. My neighbors would always watch it. And it was a kick with Nick Cannon.
Yep.
Like 12 babies. Yeah, okay, I'm in.
Yeah, that's tough. That's true.
Though. Yeah, I don't remember this one at all, but based off the description, I think I'd give it a shot.
All right. Yeah, for some reason I find it like way annoying, and I just feel scripted and not actually funny. But they act like they're the funniest people they've ever known. So okay, that's all I got.
All right. Well,
yeah, I'm very unprepped if this is how the rest of the show is going to go.
this is just the vocal cord. Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah. We may or may not keep this. We'll see.
Well, going off of that. So, welcome to the dad joke segment. Jackson, are you prepared with yours? Do you have it? Or do you want me to go first?
Yeah. It's up to you.
Okay, I'll go first because I think once I crush you with this one, it's just you're not even going to say yours. It's going to like knock you into oblivion. So, Nate, you're the judge. All right. Ready for this? Why couldn't the green pepper practice archery?
Why?
Because it didn't habanero.
All right.
Come on.
Okay.
That's good.
I think it's very good. And I don't know if I can beat you, but I'm certainly going to give you a run for your money. Okay?
Come on.
So, do you guys know what kind of Italian food vampires love to eat?
No.
Spaghetti.
Oof.
That was so bad.
Heck yeah, that's good. Man, that's hysterical.
Oof.
All right, Nate. Is this the race to the bottom, Nate?
This is. And I'm going to have to go with Jacob just on the execution of the joke.
I know. I did stumble over my stinking words.
Yeah, you did. Nate, you got one off the top of your head?
Ooh. All right. What's brown and sticky?
What?
A stick.
Okay. Should have seen it coming.
That was dead giveaway.
Is there in front of me for the taking.
Yikes, we're so lame. That was great. Thank you. Thank you for partaking in that.
Yeah, well, thank you guys for having me. This has been fun. So.
Yeah.
All right, we'll see you later.
I'm sure you feel so good about spending your Sunday night with us. Like, really? Like, I have 1 hour before I need to go to bed, and this is how it's happening. It's tough.
Well, Nate, tell the people about yourself, because you and I have known each other, I'd say, since the Melbourne days, but I don't think we got a little closer until college-ish range. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, no, you're right on the timeline when we started getting close. And I think you two being from Melbourne and listening to past guests you've had on the podcast, definitely a heavy Melbourne crew so far. And I mentioned I moved to Melbourne when I was 6. My dad was relocating there for Patrick Air Force Base. He's a Presbyterian pastor. So went to Longleaf, Johnson, and O'Galley High School for my freshman year. And then we moved up here to Daytona Beach, left the 321, going into sophomore year of high school. So this is where extended family is. So this was always a semi-home for me. So it was a bittersweet, but it was also a pivotal time in high school. I got to rebrand myself from a band geek into what I thought I wanted to be and figure that out for the next couple of years. But was fortunate to move here. I met my wife here in high school. We started dating at a youth group. She was raised Catholic. I was raised Presbyterian. We met at a Baptist youth group and started playing together in a band at a non-denominational church. So that was our connection. And we've been married going on 8 years this fall.
Let's go.
So we've got two boys. We've got Wesley and Oliver both falling asleep right now. Oliver's turning 3 in 2 weeks here. I don't know if that gives away our timeline of the podcast. Wesley's going on 3 months.
Well, hopefully we'll be a little quicker about releasing these. But you know, I got a deep love for Ollie Jackson. Ollie and I have the same birthday. So we're basically twins.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Oliver's a great name too. I love that. Oh, actually, yeah. I went to Bethune-Cookman University, Nate.
Okay.
I went to nursing school there. So I lived in Ormond Beach for 2 years while I went to school there, and it was awesome.
Yeah, you're right down the street from us.
Yeah, very cool.
And Nate's also a PK. Jackson, I don't know if I told you that, but, you know, he's a PK. So we got some trouble with him.
So Nate, are you and your wife and family, are you guys going to Presbyterian church now, non-denominational? Like, where'd you guys land with that after
your own? The church that we attend pretty much weekly, it's actually from our home church in Clearwater, where we relocated from about 4.5 years ago. So we've been going there online pretty regularly, but I think I would identify a Presbyterian if you asked me a specific branch.
Yeah, awesome. Are you familiar with Tomoka Christian Church in Ormond Beach?
I know where it is. That's okay. The extent of my knowledge.
Well, when you saw it said non-anom, I was like, oh man, I wonder, because that's where I went when I was in college. So
okay,
yeah, good stuff. All right, rad, cool,
dude, awesome. Well, tell people about something you and your dad did super cool that I think is worth sharing. You and your dad summited Mount Kilimanjaro, and I don't know. I just think that's such a cool experience to do yourself. What? But to say you and your dad did it together is like, I can't even put that into words. So just dive into that.
Yeah, that was an amazing experience. We got to do that going into, we actually spent New Year's Eve on the airplane flying over to Tanzania. January of 2023 this year, we got to summit together. We took the Lemosha route up to the summit of Kilimanjaro, the rooftop of Africa. It was incredible. It's been a bucket list item, I think, for the two of us for a long time. And we've always just hinted at it, talked about it. And then a year before we went, one of us mentioned it and the other was just like, yeah, you ready to go? And we just started planning it. It was incredible.
Unreal, dude.
What was your favorite part about the trip?
There's so much to that. I mean, there's the relationship with my dad and I, and just having this time, the two of us going through something so challenging physically and mentally together. And then just the beauty of where we were. But definitely the fact that we did that together, we summited together, that was just incredible. The moment we got to the top, looked at each other, said we did it, that was an incredible moment.
Man, that's so cool.
Much respect. Unbelievable. I don't even know. Like I did the Tough Mudder one time.
Is that okay.
That's the best.
Yeah, I put that up there, but
thanks, man. You don't have to say that, but thanks.
Yeah. It was I think I mentioned it was physically challenging, it was mentally challenging. We did a 6-day route to the summit, and the last night before we summited, we started hiking at midnight. So we had gone to bed early the day before, had a strange breakfast dinner right before we went going. So at midnight we started hiking. And it was a 7.5, almost 8-hour trek to get to the summit right at sunrise. So for those 7.5, 8 hours, you were pitch black with your headlamp. Really, all you could see was the heels of the person in front of you for hours. It was the last hour. There was a blizzard. It was dark. It was breaking me. We got to a point. We were right behind this wall and kind of hid next to it for protection. But our guides that were hiking with us, they were incredible. We would not have summited without them. They were like, we got to keep going. You can't stop here. Your body's going to shut down. If you stop here, you'll freeze. We were an hour away from the summit. Had some glucose water to get my sugars right and kept going. And it was the hardest thing I've ever done in my life.
Sheesh. And how tall is Mount Kilimanjaro?
It's 19,300 something and change, 45 maybe.
Jeez, that's cool. I'd love to do that. That's an awesome experience. And it's super cool you get to do it with your dad, old Calvin.
Yeah, he was I was the youngest person in our group, and he was the oldest. And he was at the front of the line the entire time, just did not stop.
Was that like sheer adrenaline form? Was he just that pumped up and ready to go in shape?
He had so much motivation as well as being in shape. And I've had people ask me, do you think I should do it? And both my dad and I talked about this. If someone asked us if we thought they should do it, I would say no. If you don't have the drive, you're not going to make it. I thought to myself, if I didn't have this drive that I wanted to summit with my dad, this is something we were doing together. There were multiple points on a journey that I could have broken.
Yeah. Unreal. Well, out of that, what can you say you can take away from that for you as a father, now for you and Ollie and you and Wesley?
Yeah, they have to pick a different trip when it's time to do a Sun trip.
maybe like an all-inclusive resort or something like
that. Yeah, we're surfing, going somewhere that we can fly to direct, no hike.
So you mean you two won't go and surf a 100-foot wave together in Portugal?
Not a chance. Not a chance. I'm more of a longboarder, so that's not my
It's not it.
We've always said when we were watching the Olympics that for perspective, it'd be so good to have like let's say if it's like the 400 meter or whatever, Jacob, if they had a special lane just like for like a civilian, just like one of us, you know?
Yes.
Running it as well. Yeah. So you could really see
one of us.
One Gooba Gaba, one of us. No, you just became my best friend.
What is that from? I'm sorry.
Dude, it's the most, it's from Freaks. I think a movie in 1932, and it'll haunt you in your sleep forever. I'm sending it to you ASAP.
Okay.
But anyways, So if you're running that 400 with the Olympians, we're going to see how like freakishly gifted and trained they are. Okay. And so I think, Nate, for people to like hear you did that, like, oh yeah, I'd do that. Sure thing. You know, however, like I've, hiked the Appalachian Trail with my buddies, right? Not the whole thing at all, right? I've been through like parts of Georgia, parts of North Carolina and West Virginia.
Okay.
And I think it's hard, to be honest with you. There's times I'm really having to like talk myself through certain moments, you know?
And there's some steep points on that trail. Give yourself credit. And
okay.
When you're doing it in the weather, that Mount Kilimanjaro is a hike. It's not a climb. There's no technical skills. So
okay.
Take away from the challenge of it, but there is no climbing per se in it. It's truly a hike.
Mm. But like I do really bad in the cold. So I would suffer beyond anything. But yeah, so with that, I mean like just I could, yeah, so much respect. Man, that's so fun and cool. Well, not fun at all actually, but
It was. But you say about the Olympics, my wife and I say that all the time with like, we love Top Chef or cooking shows. I always want just a normal person off to the side. That's just, they scan over to you. They're like, hey, Nate, how you doing? I'm just a mess over here. Just, I'm stealing on the onion or whatever.
Exactly.
Right. Well, let me get into one of these questions for you. What's your favorite thing about being a dad?
Oh, man. First off, I love these questions that you guys shot over. So I've had a chance the last couple of days to look at them and really, really think on them. And I'm stoked, grateful that you had me on this show because I think I'm going to be a better dad from it. So I've got so many takeaways that I've written down. I've got kind of responsibilities, I think, as a father. I don't know what other people did. I've got 5 sheets in front of me. I have way too much prep
my
work.
Man, come on.
Well, go wherever you want with that, Ben.
Yeah, I think as a father, when I come home from work, just a normal day, and your kid runs to you, just eyes light up. There's nothing that can beat that joy. People talk about joy, but until you have kids, and I know someone mentioned that before, I don't judge anyone that doesn't, but until you have kids, it's just a joy that you can't explain.
So that's got to be one of my favorite things when I get home. I'm with you on that. When Cal runs up to me and he's got I've said it before on previous episodes, when his mouth is unhinged, it's like top to bottom smile and the eyes light up. It's the greatest thing.
Yeah.
Jackson, I'm sorry your kids don't love you like that. He's just sitting there quiet.
Yeah, no. It reminded me of a beautiful time actually with Spencer Jaxby when I still only had one kid. When I would come in the door and he was learning to crawl, he would psycho crawl to me. And it was like an incredible thing. I just was soaking up that moment again.
That's awesome. Well, Nate, I'm going to kind of put you on the spot a little bit then, since you got 5 pages of notes, if you actually got 5 pages, like,
yes.
Tell me something, like tell me some revelation you came up with or something profound while you're diving into these questions.
Yeah. Happy to share. Really, so the thing that I really took away from, I mentioned that I came up with these responsibilities of a father, and I was writing them out, and don't want this to turn into a message, turn it into my dad here preaching, but those five responsibilities I came up with were to be a spiritual leader, to be a provider, a protector, a teacher and mentor, and then loving and involved presence. And that last portion, the loving and involved presence, was a huge takeaway for me when I thought about what does my presence mean. And Jacob, we've had this conversation a couple of times with a group of friends. We call each other the accountability buddies, but grew up together. We have calls every once in a while and check in on each other, but talked a lot about being intentional with our time, but taking it one step further and being impactful with our time. Once we've set that time aside, done that time management, taking it a little bit further and being impactful and involved in our presence, not just there.
How does it look like for you being able to do that practically? Because, you know, Ollie's a little bit older than Cal is. And I think Cal's getting to the point now where he understands more what I'm saying. And same as Spencer Jackson. You know, he's being three. He's coming up on four, right, Jackson?
Yeah, this December.
Year? Yeah. So with them being a little more aware, how do y'all feel like you can be impactful in that regard for both of you? Or practical, I'm saying. Practical to be impactful.
Yeah, and I think that's going to change a lot as they grow and what role you play in being impactful and being present. It's going to change. And sometimes you're not going to want that. I think there's times where I'm going to want to be present with Oliver and with Wesley, and that's not going to be my place to be present with them. There's going to be times where they need to learn and grow and be independent. I think it's a fine balance as a parent to walk that. How much do I support the passions, the hobbies, the joys that my child has? And how much do you participate in? How much do you let that be them and their identity? And I think it's a fine line to cross. But I also think if that's something you're aware of, these are questions you're asking yourself, you're going to be just fine.
Good, yeah. I mean, as far as being intentional, you know, I think that just an interesting metric that you can use in your life to evaluate, like, well, how am I doing with, like, just soaking my kids up and being present with them or being in the moment with them or just wanting to be with them is, I heard it been said, it's like, how's bedtime going? Are you just, like, getting through brushing their teeth as quick as possible and just, like, when you're reading the book, are you subconsciously like just flying through the lines and letting him really like, cause you know, you can read a section of the book, but then you can point out other things in the pictures, you know, things like that. And are you kind of rushing him to bed or them to bed? Or are you kind of just like, you know, kind of in the moment with them? Are you being intentional there? And so, yeah, I agree with everything you said about being intentional, but that was like a really interesting metric my wife kind of told me about is like, you can tell a lot about how you're doing with the just patience with your kids and the intentionality kids of how's bedtime going, you know? So little nugget there.
You remember that book we read, Nate, Becoming a King, the Morgan Snyder one?
Yeah, you can call me out on this one. I think I maybe two chapters of that one and the time when we were reading that book.
Dude, that's okay. It honestly took me probably like a year and a half to finish it. But I remember I referenced that book almost every episode, it seemed like, in season one.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
That shows how long it took me to read it. But there was a part in it where he talks about how convicted and guilty he felt when his kids were going to bed and he was just got through the prayer, got through the book, rushed through it. They didn't notice it. The kids, right? The kids are, you know, at that age, I think the kids are probably more oblivious to it and they're just happy to be with you. But he said all he wanted to do was sit down on the couch and drink a beer. And as soon as he cracked it open, he was like, wow, this it's not what I thought it was, because he was so convicted over just rushing through that and not being present. And that stuck with me a lot, just like slowing it down. And even only a year and a half in, I'm already guilty of that myself, you know, hoping, like, looking forward to Cal going to bed so I have some alone time, but then missing him as soon as he's asleep.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, kids are really exhausting. and hard too, right, is the side of it. My brother told me a quote one time, is that the best times of my life are when I'm with my kids, the worst times of my life are when I'm with my kids. And so I don't think that's a quote to be proud of or wear as a badge of honor, but he was just like feeling that way, and I respected the honesty in it, because it's hard. I mean, yeah, I get that without discipline and intentionality, like we're talking about, yeah, we're gonna fly through those moments.
I'm pretty sure we get to probably have an episode, every episode, just called intentionality, because I think that's what it always comes back to for us, which is hilarious, but shows how important it is. Mm. How's it been adjusting to two kids?
That's a huge transition, and I think people that walk ahead of you always give you a heads up on what to expect when you enter new stages, and typically we nod, shake our heads, yeah, and then you hit it and it's like, oh wow, they were right. And the difference in the time that we have between my wife and I, going from one kid to two kids, one of us always had or always could be hands-free if we needed to go somewhere, do something. If she's going to meet her sisters, if I was going to meet up with some of my friends, that was easy. But now with two, we both have our hands full. It's more planning to do anything independently. And it's been a big transition, but it's been an incredible one. So figuring out when my time is, finding when my secret place is, when do I have that time for me, that's been huge to figure out that routine.
Yeah. You know, it's dawning on me, Nate, with the way you say that is, it's a bigger ask than it used to be. If you were going to go do your thing, or your wife was going to go do her thing, or you had a guy's trip, or she had a girl's trip, or, you know, you're going to the gym or she's going to the gym. It's like,
oh shoot,
we lost them.
That's the first time that's ever happened. Oh no. Well, I wish I knew where he was going with that, because I would just continue it on. I'm gonna text him, everybody.
No, I think I knew where he was going. It's a bigger ask. Anytime you're looking to do anything independently, or you need that time. So
yeah. Well, that's a great point, because and we'll keep rolling until he's able to hop back in. But it makes sense, you know, when it's just, if you left, you know, say I left, I went to the gym, Hannah's one-on-one with Cal, and it might be hard for her, but she's able to make it work. But I can't imagine with two kids, you know, and especially with how dependent a newborn would be, and then with the level of activity Oliver's got right now, I mean, I couldn't keep up.
Yeah. With a toddler in 3 months, it's so much activity at home. And Kate, we're fortunate that she's able to be a stay-at-home mom right now. And she's often just her and the two boys. So she's been doing that since early on. And we're going on 3 months. And last week, she did a girls' night with her sisters. And it was the first time it was just going to be me, Wesley, and Oliver. And I was panicked. I called my dad in the morning. And I said, what are you and mom doing tonight? Do you want to come over for dinner? And the first time I was alone, just the three of us, I had my parents with me almost the whole time, minus a half hour of bath time at the end before Kate came home. I was sweating. So it's a huge ask to do something differently now, but it's joy. We love it.
That's too funny to say that, because I know that's like been one of the, I guess, the pros, but also a huge negative of living in North Carolina now, is that whenever Hannah and I, one of us goes and does something, we're just on our own automatically. So it's like, truthfully, probably by default in the beginning, I would have done the same thing. I would be like, hey, mom, you want to come see your grandson? But more so like, don't leave me alone with him. Because,
oh yeah.
For example, when Hannah went to Taylor Swift a couple months ago now, Cal got the norovirus. I don't know if you know what that is.
Yeah.
And it was like literally as soon as she was gone, he was throwing up. He threw up all over me, started having diarrhea everywhere. And it was the whole week. And I couldn't, sadly for him, I couldn't even stop throwing up. And I was by myself. And I was like, this is the worst timing possible. But yeah, it was a long weekend. So all I can say is I don't blame you. I would definitely call my parents over as well.
We've got within maybe 20 minutes of our home, both sets of parents, five sisters, friends. So we're never leaving this town as long as we have kids. It's too much support.
That's the unfortunate news. And I'm always trying to convince you to move up to North Carolina or Tennessee. And you, every time your same answer is, well, once the kids are a little older, once the kids are a little older, and I understand why.
We'll see. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a long-term endeavor. But anyway, well, I don't know what's going on with Jackson. So I sent him another invite, but we'll keep plugging along.
Yeah. He said something about some PC issues. So,
oh shoot. He's using the oldest MacBook in existence. Oh, he's using a Windows. Anyways, yeah, he's making it work. It's going on an update, everybody. So we'll keep plugging along. But tell me this, Nate, what did your dad do best?
This, yeah. So a little backstory: both my dad and my father-in-law had really interesting experiences when it came to their relationship with their father. My father-in-law, Rob, his dad passed away when he was a young kid, like 2 or 3, before they moved to the States from Italy. So he didn't have a father. His mom never married, so never had a stepfather figure either. My dad, I never met my dad's dad. His name was Charles, and he was raised by his stepdad. I believe when he was 4 or 5, he came into the picture. So, and his stepdad, Doug, I'm named after Douglas, and my mom's dad, Alvin, are my two middle names. Wonderful person. I'm grateful he was my grandfather, but he wasn't someone that had what I would describe as a fatherly presence for my dad. He provided, but I think that may have been the only box on that list of fatherly responsibilities that I shared that I think he checked for my dad. So for both of them coming from such a lack of a father guidance for them to receive, they both have turned around and become just incredible fathers and have relationships with all of their kids, provided they were involved. They both led their kids to have relationships with Christ. And so to have such a broken background of what fatherhood means and to turn around and do just the opposite has been incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that goes back to what Jackson and I have talked about passing the torch. It's always cool to me to see these dads that could, for all intents and purposes, go the opposite direction. And for whatever reason, they don't, and they, you know, come on, making two great kids like you and Kate. So I think it's always really impressive and encouraging to see that. And hopefully to others that maybe you're going through that themselves right now. Mm-hmm. Jackson, welcome back.
Thanks. I think that's a sign from the Lord to buy an Apple computer.
Hey, you're a studious guy now, so it might be time. That's cool. So what, out of that, Nate, kind of digging deeper on it, like,
yeah,
what did your dad attribute that to? Or what do you think he, from going through that, he did well with you and your sister? You got a younger sister as well. So.
I think for my relationship with my dad, especially growing up, the biggest thing he was for me was a teacher and mentor. As a pastor's kid, and I think Jackson, I'm sure you can relate to this, but it's a sacrifice that pastors take with their involvement and time with family. So, and to balance that role of what they're called to be as a pastor, sometimes that's hard. Taking that and transitioning to a father, so frequently I felt like I had a pastor at home, which taught me immensely, but it was mainly a teacher and mentor role with my dad. And we've recently had more of a relationship with similar interests and hobbies, obviously hiking together, but he was an incredible teacher, morals, discipline.
Yeah, I've heard it been said in regards to like when you're a pastor with your family or the things you sacrifice as a pastor, it's either going to be your family or your health, Or I can't remember if the third one's like was your ministry or if it was your like morality, like you're living a life of secret sin somehow. Mm-hmm. And I do think, unfortunately, Nate, your dad's generation of pastors was kind of the last generations to kind of not have that balance. I mean, of course, there's obviously still people blowing it in this category,
yeah.
But I think that we're swinging to the other side of the pendulum of like, there's a lot more care for pastors. In regards to things like burnout and time off for your family, people are trying to help them guard that better. Whereas I think that there was a lot of pressure with your dad's generation as pastors to, it's just part of the ministry, you know, kind of thing. And you know, you will carry scars for that. But I do think you have a really cool, like positive outlook and, you know, you have hope and joy in spite of that.
Yeah. Yeah. He did a great job of being able to, when it came to the time management of it, turn it off and to be there and be present. But weekends, evenings, often with session meetings or whatnot, or being on call as the chaplain for the church to go to the hospital, those calls were frequent. But I never growing up felt like I had a dad that wasn't present either. So I'm grateful that he worked so hard at that balance.
Yeah. Respect, because that was a hard time when people like that was all him then. So he did a great job.
Yeah.
Well, Nate, who gives you hope for the future?
You know, I want to answer my kids on this one, and I think that's the expected answer for this show. But when I was thinking about this question, I kept coming back to my two sisters, actually. And the two of them, I joke with the youngest one frequently. I always say that she's a better person than I am. She's always loving others, quick to forgive. I cut people out so quickly. You crossed my second cousin a year ago. You're dead to me forever. So she is not like that. And so my oldest sister, she's a mental healthcare professional and a youth group leader. My little sister, she's an attorney. She's juvenile public defense, now a family attorney. And both so driven by the purpose of what they're called to do. And just being around people like that, that are so passionate and directly impacting those that they're working with. That's definitely who I kept coming back to while thinking about this answer.
That's super cool. That's definitely, like you said, most people always go for the kid or maybe their spouse, but it's cool to hear an answer you don't always expect. You know, yeah, and honestly, first thing.
Answer.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you went a little deeper on it. I always forget you have an older sister, so apologies to her, whatever her name is. I only know Callie, so yeah. I'm like, oh, sorry, older sister.
Well, she was in school with us. My older sister, Christy, she's 11 years older than I am. She's my half-sister, and so she spent holidays, summers with us growing up, but lived in a different city than we did until we were adults. Now we live in the same city, and our kids are growing up together, and that's super special.
Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome. No, I really like that answer. It kind of goes back to that saying of you want to surround yourself with people that you think are better than you. Mm-hmm. So definitely can't beat that, especially coming from family.
Yeah, she's always saying, hey, we need to get together with Uncle so-and-so or Aunt so-and-so. And I'm so quick to say nope. And she's both of them always open arms, respect that about them. So I definitely take ways I need to take from them.
Yeah, absolutely. Makes me, convicts me, because, you know, as you and I have talked about, we definitely, Hannah and I, need to get more plugged in here with people like that, at least in our church. We actually went to, we got a babysitter for the first time last night, and so that was awesome. But
what did you do?
Well, so we didn't do anything as encouraging as you all. We went to an all-white party with a guy I work with. He invited us, and
bro, it's 2023.
I was like, oh, there's no chance.
Those days,
yeah,
we got to do better, man.
Dude, I know, way too woke for me, but I went anyways. I wore white. I supported, but
what?
No, it was cool though. So it wasn't nothing as encouraging as your sister's, but we got a babysitter for the first time. So that was super cool. So something I need to take advantage of more now that we're entering that realm.
Yeah, you bring up a point, though, and about being a father. So much of what that means is my partnership with my wife, Kate, and the partnership we have in being parents and being intentional. There, we're back at that again with our time with each other and making that time for the two of us to continue to foster that relationship and have conversations that maybe aren't about parent but are about us and our dreams, aspirations, and making sure we don't let go of that. That's something Kate's really led the two of us in, to make sure that we set that time aside for just her and I.
Yeah, that's super important. It was a lot of fun and very rewarding. So I think it's good to hear you say that as a reminder, hopefully for myself, but for other parents and young parents out there.
How'd you find the babysitter?
Actually, it's his preschool teacher. So Nate, I know you and I talked about the hardships of dropping your kid off at preschool or what you're looking forward to with that with Ollie, but Cal loves her. So it was super easy because she just showed up.
And here he has a relationship with her.
Oh, he loves her. So she showed up with her son, and Cal was just like, this is weird. You're in my house, but sure, I'm going to go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he was great. I mean, it was, I think, almost 10 o'clock by the time we got home, and he was still wide awake.
Were you cool with that?
Yeah, we kind of expected it. We're like, there's no way he's going down when he's got his homies there. And he didn't. So
okay.
She tried. Okay. She tried. But yeah, so pro tip right there, get into preschool and just use the teacher as your babysitter.
Wow. There you go. I've never heard of that, man. That's wild, but it's good. You know, she's background checked at least and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Way, and you have your family and sisters to do it for free.
Hey, Nate, that's that's one of the Bennies, bro. You know? But basically, Jacob, you didn't meet her at like the Wawa or something and say, hey,
no.
I know, I'm being a G.
She wasn't working the corner or nothing. She was totally vetted.
good.
But yeah, I mean, that is a pro tip, I guess, only for people that don't have family nearby. Because if you're an amateur like me who moved away from all your family, you know, it works out. But otherwise, you don't need that.
Yep. Yep. You just made me think of a really funny story, and I got to share it. But when you said work in the corner, so the night my wife and I got engaged, so much planning goes into that. And we were in St. Petersburg at this place called John's Pass or St. John's Pass. And I had found a photographer online. She was going to do the hidden photos, and we are passing her. And we have no relationship with the photographer. She's not going to listen to this, so it's fine. But we passed the photographer, and I knew what she looked like from following her page. And my wife whispers to me, she said, there's a lady of the night or something like that. She just was wearing some skimpy clothes, and I had to fight so hard not to laugh, knowing that this lady was about to take our engagement picture. So I never let that one down.
Man, that's funny. I never heard that story, because I remember right before you got engaged, you and I were actually literally talking about the hidden photographer and how you already had one ready and lined up. But I never knew the following details of where this led.
Yeah.
In my imagination, I like to think you like overcompensate, trying to like keep it cool. You're like, yeah, what a prostitute. You know, the city really needs to clean up these streets, huh? Man, sorry I took you here, babe. You know, just like go way over the top.
I went the very opposite direction. I was like, oh, no, what? Just tried to pass it off.
Yeah.
I think she was wearing like short shorts and cowgirl boots. I mean, it wasn't much, but it was so out of character for my wife to comment on someone like that. And oh, yeah, she's going to hate that I brought it up on this and people hear it. But it was just too funny.
I can attest that your wife's a sweetie pie. So that's hilarious. Can't all be perfect every time.
No.
It's too funny.
She just takes it personal when she sees another lady in the Daisy Dukes, you know?
Yeah.
Ugh. Nate's got a thing for Daisy Dukes. You got to keep an eye out.
This harlot. She's got a Jezebel spirit on her. She's in her Daisy Dukes. Oh, God almighty. this is nothing sacred.
On a roll.
Yeah.
So who puts you in check? And I feel like it's going to be your wife now, now that we're talking about it. I'm like, oh, Kate, I would not cross Kate, though. She's scary.
So much so. It's very much Kate. I am a impulsive, yes, a big group all the time. And she is a no person first, always, even if it's an incredible offer. Like, hey, last minute, do you want to go to Hawaii tomorrow? She would say no. And then in an hour, she would say yes after thinking of it. But she very much so is the first person that keeps me in check. And she does a great job of it. We don't fight. We've got a great dynamic, which I appreciate so much. But she knows how to say it in the right way so that I hear it. And I don't hear it at first, but then I know she was right.
Didn't you tell me once that Kate's like 15 years older than you? You know, she's a cougar, right?
Yeah. Yeah. 15 years older, 15 months, one or the other.
I was trying to pull a Jackson right there and just put you on the spot.
I'm not going to lie. I was playing it cool. I was shook. I was like, you don't say. I was not going to say a word. I was like, holy smokes. That's wild.
She was my preschool teacher, just getting babysat. And yeah,
man, that's tough. Well, or awesome.
Hey, I tried, Jackson. I'm trying to channel you.
You had me, dude. You had me. I was like, good grief. That's crazy, Nate.
Yeah, she was a year older than me. She was a senior. I was a junior when we met, and she came back for my senior prom. And she
So you brought a college girl to prom?
I did.
Come on.
She saw teachers that knew her. Like, what are you doing here? And yeah, I scored.
Yeah, you need a mature older woman in your life.
Jacob, as you would say, dog.
Big dog. It's a dog.
Nate's a dog.
And Jake has these Jacobisms that I don't understand at all.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
He called succulent the
other
day.
Oh, yeah.
Never heard that before. I didn't know how to take it. Another man calling me succulent.
Oh, man. Charming.
Just like, go with it.
Pure gold. If I call you succulent, that means you're a little man peach.
Jacob will call me when I'm like on the way to go teach youth group. He's go grace him in the mouth.
That juicy word.
Yeah, that juicy word. Grace him in the mouth, that juicy word. I'm like, all right.
This escalated quickly. Most of the nonsense I hear is from like random old clips of videos, like the dog ones. This kid talking about his football teammates.
Yeah.
Like,
that's the best video. I love it.
Yeah, he's like, oh yeah, RJ Simpson, dog. 300 yards and 4 TDs, dog. Quarterback, 5 passing TDs and 6 interceptions on defense, dog.
Yeah. So good. It's like that dude. I want to be that guy's friend. He'd be the best friend. Yeah. You know what we're talking about, Nate? Are you out?
I am out on this one.
Okay. But was Nate the encourager?
Jacob? Yeah, Nate. No, I'm the encourager. Nate's the player, like bringing an older woman to a high school prom.
Oh, yeah, sure, Nate. Sure. Yeah. Fair. Well, yeah. It's facts. It happened.
That's why he's the dog. So,
love it. Dude. Good job, Nate. And you married her. So, it worked out.
Yes, it did.
You gave her 2 babies also. You're like, we're leveling up beyond that, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy to look back and see how quickly that happened.
Do you ever call your old lady? How does she take that? Like, oh, my old lady over there, she's watching the kids. You know what I mean? Does she take that well?
No. There's when she was 30 and I was still 29, I often talked about how she was in a different decade than I was. Oh, you're in your 30s. I'm in my 20s. I want to go out, hang out late, even though I'm in bed at 10 o'clock. I mean, that's super late for me. But it comes up that every time of the year where she's in a different age than I am, and then it quickly catches up.
Well, yeah, now that you turned 30 this year, so you can't rub that in her face anymore, but I would have loved to see her reaction.
I can't. I popped on a cardigan and my slippers, and I'm in bed dozing on a couch. So
classic dad.
Yep.
What legacy do you want to pass on to your boys?
Oh. So, you know, when you have a conversation with someone and usually, or when it happens, you can kind of tell in a moment, this is just a neat conversation. And I was having a conversation about legacy. It was just Oliver at the time with my wife's best friend is her cousin, Sam, and her husband, Brian. He and I have gotten really close, and Kate and Sam are identical with everything, with the age, walk of life. They had babies at the same time, and just they live up in New York, so we don't see them frequently. But I was sitting with her husband, Brian, having this conversation, and it was really unique. He was raised Jewish, and I was raised Presbyterian, and we were having this conversation about what does legacy mean? What do we want to leave for our boys? They had their son's maybe 2 months younger than Oliver, and he is a farmer, and they had just purchased 105 acres up in New York, and he was planting chestnut trees and apple trees, and he was planting seeds, small trees, and he was talking about how he's never or likely never going to see the fruit of these trees that he was planting for his kids. And I've got like a half-dead fig tree on the side of our house and a blueberry in a pot on the back porch that hasn't bared any fruit this summer, but was talking about the physical things like that, the sweat and the back work that goes into planting something for your children. But that was it was an impactful conversation, just seeing the similarities we had and what we wanted to leave for our kids, and how we wanted to raise them through our legacy. But if I can leave my boys with just that desire to chase a relationship with the Lord for the rest of their lives, that's that would be the number one thing. That was a roundabout answer, but I think it got to the point.
I love that answer. Excellent.
Me too. I mean, once again, things take a new appreciation, I think, for me, and I'm sure a lot of dads could say this, or parents in general, as you start to have kids, where it's like, if my dad had told me, oh, your grandpa planted this tree and he never saw the fruit of what his labors were, I probably be like, okay, cool. Like, you know, it wouldn't have landed home as powerful as it does now, where it's like, man, that's super cool. You know, I'd love for Cal and Cal's kids, if I eventually own property and plant trees, something as simple as that, even outside of like, I love the legacy you want to leave for the boys, but something as simple as that, it's cool to think about, like, just them seeing it and enjoying it. It's like that old, what's that old book with the tree, The Giving Tree? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, Giving Tree. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And at the end of it, when the old man just wants to come and sit down, and so he just sits on the stump. Yeah. No, that lands different once you become a parent. That's super cool.
Oh man, it cuts to the heart. I'm just so bummed you brought it up. I'm not going to sleep good tonight, man.
It's not like you sleep good anyways with old Judah Lyon waking you up.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
I watched, have y'all seen Avatar 2 yet recently?
We have.
Dude. Jackson, have you seen it? I don't want to spoil it.
You can spoil it. I may or may not watch it.
Okay. Spoiler, everybody, right now is your chance to dip out if you're some reason a strangely huge Avatar fan and you don't know what I'm about to say. But at the end of the movie, when his son passes away, dude, got me in my feels. And this is just the blue people. And I was like, man, when his son died, come on, Nate. Like, how did it make you feel?
Oh, I cry over everything right now. So I've turned into a complete mush.
Well, you know me, I'm not a huge mush, but I almost mushed out right there, so you know it had me feeling some type of way.
Yeah,
I used to tell people that, like, I have a bison on my arm right there, and people would say, yeah, what's that for, you know? And I was like, oh, like, my first son, he was drowning and I couldn't save him, so I was all like, bye, son.
Oh my gosh.
Oof.
And so
what were their reactions?
I think when I'd make the joke before I had kids, and this is a funny point, people are like, you don't know what it's like, you're not a father, you can't make jokes like that. And I think that was the reaction, but it's inappropriate, but that's what I think, that's my thing, you know, is to find the line and then cross it the best I can. So anyways,
That's part of why I love you, because you always put people on the spot with those things and like you wait to see how they react.
That's it. That's it. It's not a good joke. Not a good joke. I think that, I'm trying to think. Oh, have you guys seen the latest Dune movie?
Yes.
Dune had Dune some part beautiful father son stuff. That stuff, I think we're in the season where it's gonna hit us in an all new way.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But I think on your legacy question, Jacob, just I think the point I was trying to get at is just the knowing what I'm working on today is something that may bear fruit that I'm not going to witness and not know what that could be for my kids down the road. And the example I shared of Brian, the trees that he's planted, what those will mean for his kids, I don't think he knows. It could be something, financial stability of having a farm. It could just be a shade tree that his kids get to sit under when they're playing or when his grandkids get to sit under. I don't think we know what those things will be, but if as a father actively working towards something to provide or to be there for your kids, if you're taking those steps, you're way ahead of where you may think you are.
Yeah. Well, how do you think? Go ahead, Jackson.
Sorry, Jacob. Nate, can I put you on the spot hardcore with a question, man? That was off the list, man. Okay. So ponder this, man. So when you think about how, you know, we're called to train up our children in the way they should go, you know, that's a word of wisdom. We should do that, right? Because blessing will come with that, but we're not necessarily promised anything there. You know, it says that even when they're old, they won't depart from it. But as we know, that's doesn't always happen, but that's a good thing to do. It's a word of wisdom, right? But with that, you know what? I don't know where you land with this. Do you kind of believe that, your kid has your boys have free will, and that like that's hard to deal with, knowing that they have to make that choice for themselves, like the fruit that they bear, like you're gonna do your best, you're planting seeds. You know, you want to instill legacy. You're living the right way. You're modeling the right way. But at the end of the day, Nate, that still belongs to them. Like, how do you wrestle with that? How do you deal with that? How do you process that?
I just bottle that one up and throw it away. And I haven't had to cross it yet. And bottle when it's time. But sure, fair. I'm not ready for that. And that's going to be a huge challenge. I think I'm doing the best I can, and I hope they see that, but I definitely am not ready for the day that they think they disagree with me or have fault with what I did or how I raised them. If that were to come up, I know that'll break me when the time comes, but understanding they have their own path and journey to figure out so that they can grow. I certainly always didn't have the best relationship with my dad, and I'm sure there was times that he went to bed heartbroken, trying to figure out what's my relationship like with my son, what will it be, and like you said, their free will, not knowing that it was going to circle back to this. I certainly hope it does, the similar relationship that my dad and I have today. I hope I never have that heartache, but it'll be a challenging one.
Yeah. Well, like, isn't that, I mean, Jacob, I'd be interested in your thoughts on this. Nate, you as well. Absolutely. Like, our kids are going to lie to us one day. They're going to disobey with us. Nate, you said they'll disagree with us. Like, we're going to tell them what's best for them. Yeah. And they're not going to like it, you know, and they're going to argue and they're going to challenge. They're not going to believe us sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like, isn't that wild? Like, cause that was us with our parents, but I'm like, nah, it's not going to be, of course it's going to be like that with us, but is that a lot for you guys to process and think about? Because we have little kids, we're not there yet.
Yeah, to us right now, it's mommy didn't say no or daddy didn't say no. It's these cute lies, knowing that's going to be something different in 15, 20, 30 years from now and heavier.
Yeah, I guess I feel like I'm very naive to it right now because I see Cal and he has his tantrums or whatever, you know, being grumpy, but I'm like, oh, he's so cute. It's just such a sweet, innocent stage right now. It's hard to look past and be like, you're going to be a little menace one day. You're going to be a little jerk and you're going to be mean to your mom and I, and you're going to be like, probably say some really hurtful stuff. Like, I hate you, or, you know, whatever kids say that digs deep. I'm not looking forward to that. I'm hoping somehow that I might be the lucky one and have a little angel baby, but that's very unlikely knowing his personality already.
And that's figuring out the way you discipline now, and what those reactions are. It's tough, but that's going to kind of form them as they grow older and how they respond to things. Kate mentioned something to me today that she wants us to try, and she had heard it was an incredible idea, not just because she said it, but she said between the time that Oliver and then Wesley, when they do something wrong or misbehave, between the time it takes us to get across the room to discipline them, to quickly pray, how you discipline them, that I discipline them in the way I should, in a godly way, that it's received by them. And that's, I mean, a 2 second, just God help me discipline him in a way that he receives it, and balancing that discipline and grace so that it forms them as they grow older. That was heavy. So she challenged us with that today. I thought it was an incredible idea. And fortunately, I haven't had to put it to test yet, but I'll let you know how that goes tomorrow.
we ordered some fly swatters. Like, I think it got in the mail today, because we got to start spanking Spencer. And he's 3.5. We haven't done it yet. And we've been trying time out. We call it simmer time. And it's as of this week, just ineffective now. Like, he's like tantruming hardcore, and he's out of control. So it's going to be hard. It's going to be wild. But yeah, I mean, I think that for all of us, with us being like this intentional, even in the conversation about it, about throwing up an error prayer, Nate, like I think we're going to be the guys for the job in doing this, yeah. I think, you know?
Well, that's like one of my fears, is going overboard on Cal. So I want to, like, this is great what Kate heard, and for me to keep in mind, because I want to be able to simmer down and come at this with grace and with a level head. But I'm always worried that I'm going to go overboard in disciplining, whatever that looks like. And I don't want to be that dad where the kids, like, they obey you out of a fear or just because they're scared of you. You know, that's going to be the case in some sense, where they're not going to want to misbehave because they don't want to get spanked, but I don't want them to be scared of me, you know? So we're going to figure it out. We're going to, Jackson, let us know how the supply waters go. Maybe that'll be the path.
This is going to sound messed. Oh, no, I'm not going to say it. Keep it moving. Bring us to the next one.
Okay. Well, let me tell you a fun story. So, well, not even a fun story. I mean, I'm sure you guys have gone through this, but Hannah and I yesterday morning, we're like just waking up. It was after the, it was yesterday morning. We're just laying there and we hear Cal, and he's like thumping on the wall or something, just banging his hands on it, cause he just makes some noise, and we're thinking he's just playing, you know, and he's waking up, and I like peek at the camera. I'm like, oh wait, he's not in his crib, but yeah, I can't see him. And I'm like, Hannah's like, what'd you just say? And I go, oh, he's not in his crib. She hops out of bed super fast, and he's just standing at his door, just knocking on it.
Bro, what?
Like, she just almost takes him out. So I'm like, all right, well, I got to figure out what you did. So I pick him back up and I set him in the crib, and I go, all right, show me how you got out of here. And he's just like, looks at me, just turns to the corner, throws his foot up, and then just shimmies his belly up on the corner. And so he's like resting across it like a plank, and then turns sideways, just hanging from the railing, and just drops to the floor and looks at me like it was no big deal.
Bro, that and then, is so good.
So I'm like, I knew this time was coming, but I was like, oh, you figured it out. And then trying to put him down right before we hopped on the mic, we're watching the camera, and he's laying there peacefully, and all of a sudden he gets up, and it's like, I'm done with this crib, and just gets out.
I'm out. Like, oh. That's it.
So I had to put him in a sleep sack where there's no feet on it, so he couldn't climb, and it worked.
Wow.
But that's our current dilemma. If y'all got any pointers for after the show, but that's my story. Yeah, it was fun. It was a good time.
That's it. I got, man, no pointers, man.
You'll figure it out, man.
I think we're just going to drop the crib. So good luck to us. But
yeah, that was our route. As soon as he was starting to climb, we transitioned to the next stage. And
yeah.
Looking back, or just in conversations with other people, maybe we did things a little early with him. We transitioned to the toddler bed really young, and he's been in his own Twin Size bed for a year, I think now. So, but he was climbing out, ready to go, and so we just let him go with it.
Yeah, well, this is definitely something I'm gonna pick your all's brains out after the show, because I want to at least focus on you. But it was a fun event. I was proud of him, but also like, oh crap, this is not great.
Because you can't let him see that you think it's funny, you know, too. So. True words, if any dads need it. I'm pretty sure the deal is, and our wives help us out on this, right? But I guess once they start jumping out, they can get hurt, you know, it can be dangerous. So it's time to get on that bed, man. I think once they start doing that.
He did it so flawlessly. I was super impressed, but I had to contain my laughter. I was like, man, good job.
Yeah.
But
he's a secret agent. It's good.
Yeah. But Nate, let me round this out for you. We got about 10 minutes left.
Okay.
How do you want it to end?
Oh, I couldn't think of a good one for this, but half of me, I want it to be epic whenever I go out. Something just crazy, adventurous. But then the other side of me, the realistic side, wants it to be something that's peaceful, but more importantly, peaceful for whoever's around me. I work in healthcare, so I often see the tragic side of things, and am around death maybe a little too frequently. But however I go, those that find me, that are around me, I just hope it's peaceful for them.
I always find this answer super interesting, because we recorded our episode with Ben, my cousin, the principal. It was relatively intense. He wanted to go out with a massive heart attack.
Yeah.
But he didn't want it to be a prolonged event. It was similar to you, actually. It was just, I want to be peaceful and easy for those around me and those that I love. He didn't want to be drawn out. Didn't want it to be a long suffering or X, Y, and Z, dementia, Alzheimer's, and the sorts. So I always find this a very interesting question to see how people take it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm processing that hardcore, like wanting it to be peaceful for those around me. Is like, how do we live our life in such a way to where, like, hopefully we're setting them up for that. You know, it might have a lot to do relying on, like, what do we really believe about what happens after we die? I think, like, are we, like, living in confidence with that? Because, like, if we do, Nate and Jacob, then I think they're like, man, like, Nate's really fired up right now. Like, you know, or Jacob, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I think it kind of affects... I don't know. That'll be affected on how we live our life here, as they'll know and have more peace. Does that make sense? I'm not putting that together well, but
yeah. Man, Nate, any funny stories you can share with us?
Oh, funny stories. I was on the spot, man.
Yeah, it was. I wanted you to give me something good right now. I mean, everything's been great, but.
So I think we went through the Kilimanjaro hike kind of quick, but we'll talk a little bit more about that. So when we met the group that we were going with, we hired a tour group. You have to go through a tour group, and they said up to 8 to 12 people in our group. And so my dad and I were here from Florida, both relatively athletic. But we started meeting the rest of the group that was going on this tour with us. So four of them were from Russia and Belarus and Ukraine, were alpinists. They were hiking multiple of the seven summits, the highest seven summits. One of them was an Iron Woman. The other guy was a cyclist and triathlete from California. And the two others were like cross-country alpinists from up in the mountains. And then it was my dad and I from Florida, from sea level. And we just were so out of place on this bus ride there. Everyone was so familiar. They were talking about hiking with ice picks. My dad and I we came from Florida. It was Christmas and it was 70 degrees when we left. So we were very out of place in this group. And we're just laughing to us. We looked at each other like, oh shoot, what have we gotten into? Are we underqualified? And I think that kind of came back to we're underqualified for everything that we do, but we felt like we had a purpose and a passion to achieve this, and fortunate that we did.
Wow, that's cool. Y'all brought some grit.
well, or I'm some stupidity.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Ignorance is bliss with that stuff, right? Dude, respect your dad, you know, for being in a place where he can still charge something like that with you.
Yeah. And I appreciate cool. so much. We've had conversations about, we listen to different podcasts, and it's always like athletes that are just sharing stories that are unattainable for the average person, but trying to get some inspiration from it. But he's very much committed to his health and fitness and being able to be that great grandfather that can still bend down and pick up his great grandson when Ollie and Wesley have kids. And I appreciate that so much from him, because it's a commitment that he has to make personally.
You know what I say to that, Jackson? Big dog. Calvin's a big dog.
Dog. Dog.
Dog.
Dude, Nate, in your just things you've learned, things you cling to, just whether it's like a life lesson or a mentality you try to keep. You know, we call it on the Big Daddy's podcast, the addy of the daddy, the attitude. Like, I mean, just in your preparation, what is just a word of wisdom you want to give the dads or encourage dads or something even for me and Jacob to cling to just stay strong either in fatherhood or marriage or just our workplace or job, man? Just if you could just pass something on to us.
Absolutely. For me, it's finding a routine, that routine for you to be in your secret place in the Word. Also your routine to be present with your family, to work on yourself, that's reading, physical activity. Figure out that routine so you are spending time in all the areas that you're committed to, but also don't be chained to that routine. If my day gets thrown off and I don't get to exercise, that's okay. But figuring out a routine, kind of live through that, but then don't let it hold you back when something unexpected comes up and you need to alter that for a day or for a week.
So
well said,
Nate. I think that's really incredible. It's simple, but it's not easy. So where would you like kind of tell us to start with that? Or like, yeah. Let's say if someone's like discouraged because they failed so many times and seeking that out, AKA me.
Yeah, I think if you're discouraged, then what is it you're discouraged about? What is it that you feel like you need to work on and to be better at? And then identify that. If it is being a spiritual leader for your family, if it's providing, if it's being a better teacher, better at discipline, identify what it is that you feel like you're missing or could improve on. And also knowing that you can always improve on those items, but identify that and set aside what is it that is going to make me better at this. Add that into your routine.
Yeah. Really practical stuff.
Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. You're a man of great integrity, Nate, but you're also a very humble man. So I'm honored to have gotten to spend some time with you this evening.
I appreciate it. It's been a stoke to be on it. And again, I echo what I said earlier. I appreciate what this, this time has caused me to look back and reflect on, so that I think it's going to make me a better father. It should. If it doesn't, then I wasted some time here on myself that I had some great reflection time leading up to this, and it better. So.
Yeah. I mean,
absolutely.
I think as we ask the questions and the, like, A, the audience will get a lot out of this, but B, we should be getting stuff out of this as we reflect on these things. And, you know, I think of the text that says, teach us to number our days, you know, so we may gain a heart of wisdom. I think that just, let's pause, let's reflect and think about how we're living, who we're becoming by what we're doing. And I think that, man, you're Wesley and Oliver are going to be really special kids and going to impact the world in a radical way because of you, man.
I appreciate that.
And I would just agree more.
I think there's certainly, there's lots of areas I need to work on and improve on, all of these. I don't think I'm an expert, or I don't think I've perfected, but don't let any lack of perfection hold you from going out and trying to be better at these things. I would easily think that if I wasn't perfect in my faith and my time with the Word, it sometimes holds me back from wanting to talk about that. So if you feel like you're struggling in those areas, don't let that be the barrier from trying to get better, have open dialogue with friends like this to improve.
Love it.
Awesome.
Nate, I look up to you. I look up to you as a father, and I greatly appreciate you coming on. So hope you have a great night, and tell Kate we appreciate her letting you be free for a little bit.
I will. I appreciate you guys.
All right. Much love, bros. Thank you.